You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day. It's, of course, Friday, living for the weekend. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you'll get it done anyway. I know you. That's right. Because that's the things that, you know, the things that we need. Brothers and sisters, getting it done. Let's hope that continues. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. timeforanawakening.com. Other programming, click on that. You'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs right there that are dated and titled. Not all of the programs, of course, are on that, but they eventually hopefully will be. Hopefully this one will be as well, because this plans to be a very good program. I have my good brother and friend who, to me, is invaluable in terms of bringing knowledge and information to the African masses about who we are and what we have done. So let me get the rundown, and I'll get these other announcements and the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, and then we'll have a conversation with Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, who just returned from South America, from Peru. And of course, he documents the African presence wherever he goes. He doesn't just go somewhere and it's just for sightseeing. He goes, he does primary research. He does primary research, and we appreciate him for it. Like I said, this is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All the times are going to give in the rundown are Eastern times. Right after my program on Mondays and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3, Monday and Wednesdays. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affair programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365, right after that, 8 to 9. And then on Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then Revive with Sister POC on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right? It's not me. It's Sister POC and her program Revive, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it is, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. In fact, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. So if you go online, which you should do, and search those products out, because they're all produced by us, but you can get them firsthand here in Atlanta at the Greenbrier Mall. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bomani Tayemba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of Brother Bomani's previous tours, especially the one he just had in May, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And, of course, he's going to South Africa November 22nd, December 2nd. And then he's going to back to Ghana December 24th to January 4th, 2020. So check out Brother Bomani and see if you can make it on one of those trips. Shrine of the Black Madonna, where you can get furniture, clothing, you name it, artwork, artifacts, books. Everything is right there. The red, black, and green shoes. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. The number to call to the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End here in Atlanta is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. And, of course, they also have a history program tomorrow, Saturday, from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., Brother Olatunji, every Saturday. Know thyself. But, of course, if you can't make it but you like that information, you can get the multimedia library from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Brothers and sisters, it is over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Another bookstore that's in the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writings. There's a word that goes after Medu, which is Netcher, which means gods, the writing of the gods. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore. Another bookstore that I promote is Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore. Brother Kazimde Ajamu in Lithonia. That is east of Atlanta. And the number to call, Brother, and he has books. He has the red, black, and green shoes as well, the NASGAS shoes. And if he doesn't have it, he'll get it for you. Number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us. The Thursday night broadcast was last night, 9 p.m. The number to call for the Thursday night broadcast, where you can listen as well, is 929-477-2789 for Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And, of course, we pulled our monies together as a cooperative, created Cafe Ulu in the West End. Excuse me, not in the West End. On Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road, here in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road. And we have coffee. That's right. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopia, where coffee was born. We have coffee, Brazilian, Panamanian, all around the world. We have coffee. We have loose teas that are produced by us. Everything at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. The wraps, the chicken and spinach paninis, everything. Check out Cafe Ulu. Another program another product we promote is Brother Novak Young's Ambrosia. Ambrosia, a vitality drink with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. There's five varieties: the original, the bite, which has more ginger, cinnamon, gold, which has a lot of aloe vera and cayenne and hibiscus, and green, the same formula as the gold, except it has the superfood spirulina. Brother Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti with Akabin Institute need support. I will continue to call out for us to support them. and that is Ochabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. Excuse me, that's my 30310, Atlanta, Georgia, Ochabin Institute. Make checks payable to Ochabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can go to PayPal or Cash App. Put in the email, $YAAM, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions. Another sister who I definitely want you to check out is Sister Gabby, Gabrielle Real, in Haiti. She is in the northeast portion of Haiti. She is in the rural area doing fantastic things. Please go to the website at sanjay-haiti.org to find out what she's doing, the chicken farm that she established, all kinds of good things to help brothers and sisters, the educational, the school she's established. Sanjay Haiti, sanjay-haiti.org, sanjay-haiti.org. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, Brother Scotty Reed with the Black Talk Radio Network. He has a funding. He's trying to get some funds, and which is desperately needed. Understand that Black Talk Radio Network is the number one black podcast in the country. The number one Black Talk Radio Network that we're on. So check them out. Also, too, I'm going to make announcements for my good brother, Brother Jabari Jamani, and his program to the Black Conscious Caravan that will be taking place in Los Angeles on Marcus Garvey's birthday, August 17th. I'll give more details, but I just want you to know, and you can give him a call, Brother Jabari Jamani, at 323-292-5550, 323-292-5550, or go to a FIBA center, FIBA, I think it's dash or it's underscore, center at hotmail.com, the FIBA, A-F-I-B-A. Underscore center, and check that out. The Yenye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today, of course, is the 26th. I'm going to read the 25th. July 25th. Truth must seek justice. Justice must seek the truth. When justice triumph, truth will reign on earth. African proverb. Good hearts never settle, no matter the failures. They never cease their search until they attain unqualified satisfaction. Even so, seeking spirits know that awareness is only a step toward the next revelation. Wise people with good hearts and humble spirits know that truth reveals itself through focused deliberation. Such individuals know that any exercise of justice can only be correct when it reveals, decodes, and crushes the lies within that which must be corrected. They know that correction is indispensable if they are to be able to live without suffering the contradictions of knowing but not doing. Such persons recognize that truthful justice must be commensurate to the magnitude and duration of the unjust. Affirm, I am a determined seeker of truth and justice. Affirm, I am a determined seeker of truth and justice. July 26. No matter what accomplishments you make, somebody helps you. The great tennis star, great tennis great, Althea Gibson. Extreme individualism has had a devastating effect on our sense of trust, community, and racial cultural identity. It has become one of the most damaging self-definitions that we have accepted as a normal for ourselves. For in it, individualized Africans make foolish and selfish choices which have no allegiance or connection to African people. The internalization of extreme individualism creates disadvantage in everyone except members of the group who perfected it and whom it, regardless of the collateral benefits to outsiders, exclusively serves Europeans. There is no nation building without family because family is the nation. Many an African-centered scholar has reminded us that if a community cannot hold its members accountable to it for the words and actions, then it is not a community. Our communalism
is not the communism or socialism that Europeans misguidedly fabricated to try to soften their capitalistic exploitations of themselves and others. Exploitation of family is anathema to African communalism. Africans in first person plural. African is first person plural. Therefore, I without we. I say Africa is to say we, us. I am because we are. Communalism is a state of mind. It is the understood relationship between a much extended family that makes no issue about everyone with clean hands eating out of the same pot. It is the expectation of love and fairness from all relations and receiving it as if it were the expected but unnecessary. Affirm, I am first person plural. Affirm, I am first person plural. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. Hey, brothers and sisters, we have now with us one of the outstanding researchers and a real brother who loves African people. And if you are fortunate enough to be one of the many thousands of followers on Facebook of Dr. Renoko Rashidi, then you will know that he loves us. And he consistently puts out memes and pictures and flowers and sisters. And he's just a beautiful man. Brother Renoko Rashidi, good morning to you.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
All right. I was listening to the introduction, the advertisements, and what have you. That ambrosia sounds real good, man.
Oh, it's delicious.
Send me some of that through the mail, man.
Okay. I will.
You know, I'm trying to be more health conscious.
We all are. We want to be here because our struggle is a marathon. It's a marathon. So we want to be here for the duration, you know.
And
definitely.
To patronize black businesses is so important, man.
Yes, it is. Extremely. You know, and I know that the level of consciousness of our people in general is not what it should be. But, man, if it was, there should be not one a business that's honorable, that truly is a good business that helps give back, that should not be supported, you know.
So what should we talk about today, brother?
Well, I tell you, you know, I know... and I've been looking at some of your quotes, and I mean, I just got so much stuff on you. Now we could talk about so much. I know you just got back from South America, Peru, you know, because, you know, like I get the information that you send out consistently, and you do it consistently. Really, I love it. You know, no matter where you are, and you'll even say, hey, I try to connect, but they don't have good internet service here. So, you know. I have to get back with you, but if you do, you'll always send excellent pictures and let us know where you are and what you're seeing and how this relates to us. So, and that's another thing, though, Baba, is that a lot of our people, unfortunately, don't know the African presence around the globe, you know. And
well, it'd be good to talk about Brazil. I'm sorry, Peru. Funny thing about it is, no matter how momentous a trip is for me, within a short period of time, it begins to fade away. I guess you could say fade into the inner recesses of my mind. Now, today makes a month, 4 weeks since I returned from Peru, and it was an incredible trip. But it seems like a million years ago now. Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. And what is it about Peru that you found more interesting than some of the other places? I mean, you've pretty much been to every country on the continent of South America, have you? And in Central America, almost?
Well, in large measure, I have a trip next month in about 2 weeks that will take me to Panama for the second time, and to Cartagena, Colombia. It'll be my third trip to Colombia, but my first trip to Cartagena, which is on the Atlantic coast, and which has, from what I understand, a pretty heavy concentration of African people. In fact, that area boasts that they have the first free town of Africans in the Americas. I guess that these must be Maroons, the people who ran away, the captured Africans who ran away and established their own communities. That's in Cartagena. And I'll be going to Chile for the first time. I've got some lectures there. It's a large Rastafarian community. Well, I won't say a large, but significant Rastafarian communities in a lot of these places. Now, when I do the trip to Chile, that means the only country in South America I won't have visited at least once is Paraguay.
Okay.
In Central America, it's Salvador and Nicaragua. I'd like to visit Nicaragua. They have an African community on the Atlantic coast. The name is Bluefield is what it's called. And these are the descendants of Africans who came to the coast, who came to Central America in the 19th and I guess early 20th centuries to work in the case of Panama, to work on the Panama Canal and the railroads. And so they are there. But I've been to just about every part. Now, Peru, I've been to several times. Peru has a lot to offer in terms of African heritage, but also the archaeological sites. In fact, to be honest with you, next to the Nile Valley, I would say Mexico and Peru might have the most archaeological sites in the world. That one might surprise a lot of people, and they are significant. So Peru has a lot to offer, and I've been there, I think, about six times. I always have a good experience. June is when I took a group there last month, is also now Black Heritage Month in Peru. And so Peru is beginning to acknowledge more the African experience there. I'd say Black folk in Peru make up about, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10% of the population.
Okay.
And they have a history there. Interestingly enough, they were brought there to work on the in the cotton plantations. And Africans have told me that they can still feel the spirit of their ancestors in those cotton fields right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in a community called El Carmen, which is on the coast south of Lima, the capital. And there are other Black communities that I haven't had a chance to visit. There are a handful of Black folk in the capital, Lima itself. But Peru also has an ancient, several ancient civilizations, one of which is called the Moche. And the Moche predate the Inca, who are responsible for Machu Picchu. The Inca are very famous.
Right, right.
The Moche precede them by 1,000 years, and there seems to be an African element in the hierarchy of the Moche. So I had a great trip, man. Looking
Beautiful.
Forward to going back.
Great. I mean, we appreciate what you do. I know I do. And I know probably some people say that, but I really do. That's why I support you. You know, I support those who bring our history to us, because if you've been led to believe, as we have been, that we have never done nothing, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, and still today there are still some of us who believe that. So there are some of us who are so ignorant that they say, I'm glad Europeans enslaved us, because I would be in Africa today worshiping a rock or a tree. I'm glad they introduced us to Christianity to help save my soul. You know, this is the kind of ignorance that is still pervasive today, you know. And
well, what I've been trying to do lately is to really push the positive. I know that there are a lot of ignorant people out there. What is sad is many of them are willfully ignorant. But there are also a lot of people with open minds I'm seeing now who really want to learn and want to grow and appreciate the knowledge. So we're going to work with them.
That's right.
And the other ones, maybe they'll catch up, maybe they won't. But what we, you know, Kwame Nkrumah, and I know you've recently been to Ghana, used to say and emphasize that African people need liberated zones. You know, and I think that's what you were talking about in terms of the Black businesses and Baruti School. It's a liberated zone.
That's right.
And we need to bring those together with like mind who are workable, who want to do something. and mold and shape them. And then we can expand and grow. I'm not going to lose sleep right now over the ignorance in our community. I'm going to push, you know, the good things that we're doing. And also the fact, just like these black folk in Peru, we have to remind ourselves of all the abuses that we've suffered. We are not just as we are for nothing. We didn't just wake up as we are. We've been molded for centuries. And the fact that many of us have resisted that and are here even now to have this conversation is very positive and it's encouraging.
That's right. It's a testament to the African spirit that many of us embrace, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of us who don't want to be African. I think I was listening to you with Rock Newman. Yeah, and Rock Newman mentioned about he had a cab driver, and he noticed the cab driver was from Kemet or Egypt. And he said that something about African, and the cab driver kind of went off. I'm not African, you know. And the opposite of that, though, I remember going to ASCAC conference in Detroit many years ago, maybe 20. There was a brother from Egypt. Because they classify Egyptians, the U.S. does, or the West does, I guess, as being Caucasian, as being white. And he did not want this classification on his passport or on his information. And he fought to, you know, because he was Nubian. And he fought to have that corrected. And I believe that he won. And he was at the conference. And if he didn't say anything, he just looked like any other brother. He had a nice fro. He had brown skin, you know. You could not, no way in hell, say that this man was white or Caucasian, you know. But that's a battle that we have to fight, I think, you know, consistently to establish who we are as a people. So, you know, I know that you, like I said, you've been to a number of these countries, and I know that there are more Africans in the country of Brazil than any other country except Nigeria. But you also said that there are more Africans in India. And how does that translate, the Africans in India? And are those the Dalits? Are those the untouchables?
No, well, the Dalits or the untouchables, also known as outcasts, they're a social economic group. If we use the parameters or view of race that we have in the Western Hemisphere, at least in the United States, I think we would see the majority of them as black. Okay.
Okay.
But you also have an ethnic group. I think they're oftentimes called Dravidians.
Right.
Who also very, very large group of people. And by the standards of race that we use, many of them, most of them, would also be considered black. I think the bottom line is, or African is the term you use.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I'm learning, and it never really had a precise definition for, I don't know if you can get a precise definition, for what constitutes an African. I mean, who is an African and who is not? I think the reason that a lot of people say that Brazil has the largest concentration of black folk or Africans outside of Africa is because we have the view that Africans are only those people who are either in Africa or who have come from Africa within a short period of time, within the last 200 years. Really speaking of Africans, there's so many different definitions. I started to say Africans who were captured and enslaved. But now a lot of people don't even identify them as African. They would say in Peru, for example, that they are Afro-descendant. And so I think that I started to say that maybe we need to develop a more precise definition for what an African is. And then I wonder if we can ever really give a precise definition, perhaps. The best we can have is a working definition, because there's only one race, and that's the human race, which was born in Africa. And so everybody can claim to have an African heritage, but does that make them African? And if it doesn't make them African, is it just because we don't feel like accepting them as African? For example, I do not accept, from an emotional perspective, those white people in Southern Africa as African.
I agree.
They are European.
Exactly.
They are the descendants of people who invaded Africa and who brutalized African people.
That's right.
But at the same time, their ancestors ultimately also came from that very same continent. You have the East Indian population in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
More problematic, perhaps, is the Arab population in North Africa, who don't see themselves as African for the most part. And I don't see them as African either.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a tendency to oppress African people for more than 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. So what is an African? And who can say? What is the definition of an African? I don't know. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to sound deep.
Right.
But these are questions that even me, or even I, after researching for nearly 50 years and traveling to virtually every part of the world, still don't have a precise answer for.
Right. And also, too, understand that the world has been made to denigrate and degrade and make people who of African order to be ashamed of being African, you know. And so a lot of our people, you know, I'm old enough, and I'm quite sure you may be old enough, too. I know you are, and we're about the same age, Baba. To remember when we were colored, we were Negro. In fact, we were not black. We were ashamed to be called black, you know, or to be colored. And of course, a lot of us today don't want to be called African, you know. That's like, I look at some of the people who, I ain't African. You know, I'm black. That's why, to me, when the Caucasian, who's not white, the Caucasian's European, he's Caucasian. We're not black, although me and you've talked about this, and I know being black is synonymous with being African to some people, you know. But we fell into this thing that the Caucasian is white, and his collective whiteness is exalted, you know. And so what we did, we can't be white because visibly when you look at us, no, you can't do that. So we're black. And I look at it as being in service to white because we want what whites have. We want their jobs. We want their neighborhoods, their cars. And
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think what we want is, and I guess we could have some philosophical discussion about it. I think that we want what all people want, and that is just a good life,
mm-hmm.
a life without where you're not hungry, a life where you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's true that some of us do equate that with the European lifestyle, and I think it's the same thing when I hear people talk about the civil rights movement. I don't know if that movement was about integration per se, but a desire to have equal access, a desire to have what people would perceive as good things. And a lot of times those were denied to us. I know that we had banks and we had businesses and and what have you. But I think that all people are just driven to have a good life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
I just think that we have to begin to lay out some parameters for what that consists of. And again, the thing that I'm learning, and this is a hard lesson for me, is the need to be patient with our people. I did a presentation about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, yeah, a year and a half ago, in Vienna, Austria.
Mm.
I love to travel to Europe because you have so many of our museum artifacts in European museums.
Right.
And so I can go there and do a lot of research. And there's also a lot of black history in these places. A lot of people don't know that African people have never been invisible. And that's one of the great fallacies of history. If we were, for example, and I want to make this point about Vienna and patience, but if we, for example, were to go back to ancient Europe, let us suppose we are going to go back to Rome or or Greece. We would find African communities in those places. Just like you have a community today like Atlanta or Milwaukee or Los Angeles, where I am, you would have in those cities Black communities and other communities. African people have never been invisible.
Okay.
We've always played a part in world history. So I'm in Vienna doing some research. And while I was there, I was asked to do a couple of presentations. And one was the opening of a Black bookstore. This is the first Black bookstore in the history of Austria. Mm-hmm. And I was asked to come there and open it up. Now, there aren't many Black folk in Austria to begin with, and you have a right-wing government there. And so the brother who asked me to speak and whose bookstore was invited a lot of Europeans there. It may have been as many white people, Europeans, as there were African people. And I was extremely, one or two of them challenged what I said. And I was extremely belligerent. You know, I basically told one white guy, well, you can, you know.
I feel you, Baba.
I invited him to leave, and I said, if you don't want to leave, there are alternative measures we can take. Uh-huh. I don't have to listen to you. Uh-huh. I don't give a damn about what you say. If I really didn't want to be, I mean, if one Black folk in there, I'd have really, it could have got very, very ugly, and it came very, very close to it.
Okay.
So a brother, a young brother, comes up to me, literally, on his knees. He's a true African. And he says, Elder, Baba, I beg you, be patient with us. Be patient with us.
Sure.
And I had to really, really, I have to really internalize that.
Yeah.
Because we want, speaking of our people now, the African community, we want people to be and assume and hope that people are on the same level that a lot of us are in the conscious community.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our people are not.
That's right.
And that's tough. And then we have to remember, at least I have to remember, that my level of consciousness wasn't always what it is now. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I would have been proud, and I identified myself as a Native American. We were always taught my mother's mother was Cherokee. So up until the time I was about 14 years old, I didn't want to be considered Black, African American, Negro. I know, because I've been through that process.
Right.
And I think that that should keep us grounded. The fact that this is an organic thing, that we are growing, even in terms of our definition of what an African is, it's not static.
Right.
History is not dead, and the past is not finished, and it's in us. So that's what I'm saying, and I'm saying that I want the listeners to check that out, the need for us to be a little more patient with each other.
Yes.
And to understand each other and to keep in mind the brutalities that we've suffered. And that we are all trying to grow. At least we should be.
Ashe, I know that I think I forwarded you Conrad Wuerl, my friend Conrad Wuerl's article from the Crusade, I think it is. It's a weekly publication out of Chicago. And this dealt with, you know, how we need to be understanding of who we are and what has happened to us, particularly as it relates to the continuing impact. And I don't say white supremacy. I don't use white supremacy. I use European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege. But in it, he talks about us being our own worst enemy. And I hate that when people say that we're our own worst enemy, not understanding that an enemy has done something to us that makes us think that we're our own worst enemy, because it takes the onus off of us and puts it on others. So, you know, and Brother Conrad's article is outstanding, and he quotes a new recent ancestor, rather, and that is, excuse me, Baba Anderson Thompson. Andy Thompson,
yeah,
who just made his transition. And I know you know Andy is another good researcher, you know.
So, I liked Andy.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot. We could talk about what Jacob Carruthers and others call the old scrappers.
Yep.
Those old
the old historian, the old scrappers.
Andy was one of the first people I know that took a group to Sudan. That's not easy. I'm taking a group in November. It'll be my second group. But I remember Andy talking about that way back in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we miss him, and we salute the work that he did.
Yeah. Outstanding work. And so we got a couple of callers right now before we go to a break. We're going to go to a break at the top of the hour. I'm going to take these callers. 816, good morning.
Hello.
Yes. You're on the...
Greetings to both of you brothers, Brother Oshie, Brother Doko. This is Mickey Dean in Kansas City.
Brother Mickey Dean, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well for a senior citizen.
Right on, Imbo.
What's happening, my brother? How you doing?
But I called mainly. I just want to put a word in for Brother Renoco's trips. I've been on two trips with him now. Went to Cuba with him and a group about, I guess that was about 2 years ago, Brother Renoco. And then just recently this year, we did a tour of West Africa, Benin, Togo, and Ghana. Brother Renoco's trips are some of the most educational trips. They are very enjoyable. I learned so much. He always traveled with a great group of sisters and brothers, and I just appreciate all the work that this brother does, and I'm looking forward, Brother Renoco, to getting on some more of your trips. I guarantee you, as they say down south, Lord willing, creek don't rise, I'm going to be on some more of your trips. So I just wanted to call in and greet both of you good brothers, and particularly tout Brother Renoco's trips.
Brother,
thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks a lot, Mickey, and say hello to Sandy, too, my brother. Appreciate you, man. Got to get you back on the horn again on this program. We can talk about international issues, because I know Brother Mickey Dean was the international brother with the National Black United Front. He kept us up on what was happening internationally, what's going on with African people. Appreciate you, Mickey Dean.
If I'm not mistaken, Mickey, recently I got a new book. I'm getting books all the time. This book is called African Americans in Africa, A New History, by Numata Amedia Ivitayo Blyden. I assume she's a descendant of the great Ever Wilmot Blyden. And I was looking in here and I saw, I didn't know it, that Sani Lou Hamer, the African American activist who was famous for saying, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." She was a primary organizer of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. She was beaten. A lot of us know Fannie Lou Hamer. But what I didn't know until I read this book is that Fannie Lou Hamer was a part of a delegation of SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that became the Student National Coordinating Committee, that went to Guinea, West Africa, in 1964. And apparently Ms. Hamer was just, you know, delighted by the experience that she had, and talking about how it was so wonderful to see African people in power in government. And I didn't know that. And I think that Mickey sent me a follow-up on that, pointing out that an entire SNCC delegation was. So Mickey Dean is a great great Pan-Africanist.
And
a lot from him.
No doubt.
He sets a lot of examples. Yep. So he's a good brother. I'm delighted to hear from him.
Right on.
Well, it's good to hear from both your brothers, and Brother Oshie, we'll be talking soon. And like I said, Brother Renoco, I'm going to be on one of these upcoming trips.
All right.
Let me say one other thing before I let you go, and I don't think Oshie would mind, Brother Oshie. I think one of the most important things is that African people not separate the struggles of African people. And that when we were having the so-called civil rights movement and black power movements, this is going on at the same time as the African decolonization movement.
Yes.
And these movements were really not separate. And I think we should try to endeavor to see what sisters and brothers in Brazil were doing at that time. And in the Caribbean, in Australia, you had a Black Panther Party. They had a black power movement. They had a sit-in type of movement. And Mickey maybe has inspired me, and Baba Oshie, and we're all in this together.
That's right.
Is the idea of connecting these movements and not allowing us to be separate. This is so important.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, no, I
absolutely agree, because there's some attempts now to separate so-called African Americans, some other Africans in the diaspora, and I think that's a very dangerous thing. So you're absolutely right, Brother Benoko.
Oh, there's no doubt. I concur, because what we need is that collective mind, you know, that wherever African people are, we are, you know, done a certain way because we're African people, and our struggle is a international struggle. It is not just what's happening in Brazil, what's happening in America, or what's happening in Zimbabwe or Ghana. No, it is a total African struggle. That's how I look at it. I look at the African world struggle that we must all undertake.
And since you brought it up, here are my upcoming tours to the motherland. We're going to do Egypt in October. I like to go during that time because it's not hot and there's so much to see. And this tour will also include Alexandria, and probably more important, it'll include Middle Egypt, Tell Amarna, Beni Hassan, where the first martial arts tombs are, the ruined palace of Nefertiti, the tomb of Akhenaten, and all the other major sites. That's in October. In November, we're going to do Sudan. Yeah, we were talking about Andy Thompson and his trips to Sudan. I'm going to take a group there. We're going to see the land of Kush. And then in January, we're going to do Senegal and Gambia. We'll do another kind of West African tour. This year we did Benin, Togo, and Ghana. Wonderful. This time we're going to do Senegal, Gambia. I haven't been there in a while. See the new museum. But we're also going to do an extension there to Guinea-Bissau. I've not been to Guinea-Bissau. And this is where the great African patriot Amakal Cabral was from, another African martyr. We're going to review the history of enslavement there, try to visit some new dungeons and sites. And it'll also be the first time in Africa. Of course, I've been to Brazil several times, and I've crossed the border into Mozambique just for a moment. But it'll be the first time I've been in a country in Africa colonized by the Portuguese. Each colonizer had their own technique of ruling over African people, you know, controlling African people. And I want to see how the Portuguese did it. And so for those who are interested in my tours, my lectures, my books, et cetera, you can contact me after the show at area code 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663, or email me. I have my computer with me wherever I go, to renoko@hotmail.com, and that's R-U-N-O-K-O, renoko@hotmail.com. Or you could just go to the website, which is drrenoko.com, drrunoko.com.
And it's an outstanding website that Brother Renoko has. Now, the trip to Kemet.
Okay, Brother Oshie, let me get off so I can continue to listen. But again, greetings to both of you brothers, and I'm going to continue to listen to the show.
Thank you, Brother Mickey. Well, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, the trip that you have going to Kemet, it also has that you're going to the Sudan at the same, I mean, is it a continuation of that trip, or is that two separate trips? I see you have an
Well, they're together, but you can separate them.
Okay.
We have some people who are just going to do just Egypt.
Okay.
And we have a number of people who are just going to do Sudan. And then we have a number of people who are going to do both Egypt and Sudan.
Okay, I see. Okay.
So you have that option.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. That's outstanding. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, those who are on the line, just continue to hold on. We're going to take a break. I chose a song, Brother Renoko, that you would probably like, because I know your love for our women, for our sisters. And this is a song by Gary Taylor with Will Downing and Scotty from The Whispers.
Hey, Ochi.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jay.
Listen, you got to do something about the value. The value is not good on TuneIn. All right?
Oh, is it too low?
Yeah, too low. You need to, if you can, raise it.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do on my end with my mixer and so forth. I'll turn it up a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. Jay. So just hang on. All right. So we're going to do this piece on Gary Taylor with Will Downing and Scotty from The Whispers, Woman of Color. This is for you, Brother Renoko. Appreciate you.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Bring all over you. There's no explanation. your head dripping all over me.
Like golden candy.
Yeah. All over me.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, we're, like I said, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following our program on Mondays and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. And the other program is on Mondays. Monday evening is Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Followed by Let's Buy Black 365, and then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed Sunday evening with Time for an Awakening, once again at 7 p.m. And every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. Also on Blog Talk Radio, my good brother Yusuf Muhammad, with Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness from 6 to 8 on Fridays. On Fridays, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And the number to call is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Getting back with the conversation, Baba, I have a couple quotes here that I find that remind me deeply of you. In fact, one of them, you made the quote on Hidden Colors 2, and that is what you do for yourself. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you've been told. You know, I think that was Dr. Thurman, I believe. That's his quote, but you made it your own on the program, and it's understandable because we have been told some tremendous evil things, and you have been dedicating your life to correct that, and I appreciate you for it. You know,
yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes. I was in one of my trips to Ghana, and a brother named Kwa David Whitaker, who was in Cleveland, brilliant brother, was speaking to the group that I was with, and he said that. And I think he was paraphrasing John Henry Clark, the great Dr. John Henry Clark, wonderful ancestor.
That's right.
And so I heard it, and it really resonated with me. People ask all the time, "Well, Renoco, why is this information important? Why history is important?" And I think maybe that statement sums it up about as well as I've ever heard. So I took it and ran with it.
Right
and,
on.
I use it a lot. Yeah. It makes sense.
Oh, it makes tremendous sense, what you've been told. Well, I have a quote, and I don't know, it may not even be original, but it came to my mind. I've been using it for the last 30-some years, and that is, we must know our history so we can understand the present and then prepare for our future, you know.
Oh, it's essential.
Yeah,
we could go on and on and on with quotes like that. I think it might have been Garvey who said, well, somebody said, when you know better, you do better.
Right.
Garvey said something to the effect, if we, and I'm paraphrasing now, I don't have the exact words in front of me, if we knew what we had done, we would be more likely to treat ourselves better, or less likely to disrespect ourselves.
Right, I saw that.
You know,
this
information is not new. The things that we're talking about today have been talked about before, and what I fear, is that they'll be talked about again. I wonder if 100 years from now, 50 years from now, mm-hmm. we'll be having a very, very similar conversation, a different group of black folk, and another time, another generation will essentially be talking about the same issues that we have in respect to the lack of African empowerment. I believe it was in 1914 that the great Marcus Garvey, I'm a Garveyite, the great Marcus Garvey formed the organization, the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League. And at some point in time, he was asked, Mr. Garvey, how did you come to form this? And he said, I looked around for the black man's army, his mm-hmm. navy, his men of big affairs, and could not find
them. That's right.
And so I decided to help create them. And I wonder if we could not say the same thing today. Who speaks for African people on a global scale? Where's the army to protect African people? Mm-hmm. The African Union is not to be taken seriously.
Right. That's unfortunate. That is truly unfortunate. The African Union is so impotent, you know.
It's paper.
Yeah. And that's the part that really angers me the most, because truly if the African Union was what it should be, then we would be able to get rid of all of the despots, all of the corrupt leadership or misleadership, get rid of all other...
We can say that on a lot of levels. Like, mm-hmm. for example, and we do bear a lot of criticism. You can blame what somebody said. I learned this in Kansas City. Mickey Dean, the first time I went there, a sister invited me in. I can't think of her name. And she had an expression, and that is, you can blame other people for your victimization, for your rehabilitation. That's your responsibility.
That's right.
That's our right. job.
That's right.
So I was thinking, one of the people I admire a lot, especially these days, is my brother Tony Browder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anthony Tyrone Browder, based in Washington, D.C., is financing an archaeological dig in Luxor. And they're finding all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took him a long time, I think. I mean, for a long time, maybe still. Mm-hmm. It was difficult financing that. It's not expensive. So you have to ask yourself, where are the African governments?
Right.
Where are the HBCUs? How come they're not taking the lead and initiative? Mm-hmm. And these sorts of things. I don't expect at this point in my life to, I don't expect for established institutions and organizations to really carry the ball. You know, I think that we have to look within, and we have to have more community-based initiatives. We have to be willing to think. It's not enough to wear, you know, mug cloth and have an ankh, you know, and be able to recite
right.
the admonitions of my eye. What you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I never saw Garvey with a dashiki on. Marcus Garvey didn't have a traditional African name. I never read the word Hotep in the philosophy and opinions of Marcus Garvey. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care about any of that.
Right.
I'm concerned about what you are doing. And I think that we need to be able to see the big picture. And so at this point in my life, God willing, I'm going to be 65 years old next month,
yeah.
in less than a month. I'm not about attacking people. I'm trying to galvanize people into action. Maybe you call this a kinder, gentler Renoco, with the idea that maybe we can catch more flies with honey than
yeah.
sugar, as if we want. I mean, with vinegar,
yeah.
as if we want to catch flies. Well, how do we bring the community together? Does that mean you have to have the last word all the time? Do you have to be right all the time? When we say unity, are we talking in the community? Are we talking about my way or the highway? I think some of us in the African-centered community seem to believe that. If you don't subscribe to my philosophy and worldview, you are somehow less than, and I find it difficult to work with you.
Yeah.
These are the lessons that life has been teaching me, and I just think that somehow we have to move beyond that. Maybe this chump in the White House is going to help out with our education process.
Well, I know we thought that same way with Ronald Reagan back in the day. You know, because of how reaction he was.
Even worse, man. This guy is the incarnation of the devil.
Oh, no doubt.
Mephistopheles, you know, in the White House. This guy is just evil, man.
Evil, he is.
A bastard.
But you see, there is a serious support, take that word back, not a serious support of African Americans who are supporting Trump. But he does have some support.
For an African American to support Donald Trump, you must either be incredibly stupid or a blatant opportunist or you're on the payroll.
Yeah.
I don't want any black person who supports or respects Donald Trump, don't come near me.
Yeah.
You know, don't touch me. Don't even mention my name if possible. I'm serious.
No, I
don't even want to be in that around that energy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to argue, brother.
You know, because, like, I mean, you know, he throws out there American African unemployment is the lowest it's been probably since enslavement. You know, that's how I look at it. It's the lowest it's ever been, you know, because let Trump tell it. You know, it's hard. And sometimes, brother, I get very angry because of how he has done stuff to make it seem like it's normal, that this is something normal, you know. Because in essence...
Well, I think that the essence of Donald Trump, maybe what is most revealing, is Donald Trump is not an exception. Donald Trump speaks for many people.
That's right.
And you have something very similar with this guy, Boris Johnson, who just became prime minister of the UK. I think that whether they understand it or not, that this is the last stand of global white domination. If you don't want to use the word white supremacy, we'll find something else to use.
Sure.
Around the world. I think that they see this and Trump as the hero of this last stand. The world has not remained the same. Things are not static. Things are changing. They understand that. And I think that they're rallying around their boy who speaks to their own interests and their own beliefs. He just puts it in a manner where I guess the world considers it more acceptable or palatable because of the position that he occupies.
Well, you know, this is the same thing with Bolsonaro in Brazil and many other very right-wing, very, very right-wing and they're like...
Right-wing SOBs, man. Yeah. Racist, you know, misogynist, anti-female, anti-environment.
Yeah,
that's something serious. I wish that we would talk about in the community more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we feel like it's beyond us. Climate change, global warming, the abuse of the earth.
It is serious.
You know, so we're talking about different issues. We're talking about race, which you cannot ignore. We're talking about class. You can't ignore that either. We're talking about gender, because we know that black women have been abused all over the world. And then I think that increasingly we have to, and people may say I'm crazy, and they may be right, but I think that we also have to begin to talk about protecting the earth more.
Yes.
And that should be an important part of our discussion and our worldview.
I would agree. I've mentioned... and had conversation on this program about two or three times dealing with climate change, because it is real and it affects the whole planet. Now, we can talk about African liberation, and I do, because I believe in African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, because that's the purpose of this program. You know, that's what I talk about. You know, and if you want to come here and argue about whether that should happen or not, I don't want to get in that conversation. Only thing I wanted to talk about is how do we achieve it? Because to me, to argue with another African person about whether or not we should be sovereign and independent and free is ludicrous. So how do we achieve it? You know,
that's
what the bottom line is. But I remember reading an article 30 some years ago at the firehouse at the table on climate change, then called global warming. And the scientists said at that time, if they do not change the way things are, you do not get rid of the fossil fuels and continue burning fossil fuels, causing the greenhouse effect and so forth. These are some of the calamities that may happen. And bam, they're happening. And now they're saying, first, Brother Minoco, they were saying, well, you got 15 years, 20 years to correct this and where it will not be continuous. Now they're saying it's almost like if you don't do it at this moment, within the next couple of years, that this type of extreme weather patterns will be permanent. And, you know, right now, Europe is in a sweltering heat, the same sweltering heat that was here in the U.S. in the from the Mississippi going eastward and then into the northeastern part of the country, New York and so forth. And now it's in Europe, and they are, I mean, temperatures in Paris over 100 degrees and so forth.
108 in Paris. It broke a record yesterday. I know Paris.
I know you know Paris. Your baby's there. That's right. How's she doing?
No, actually, my daughter is in Senegal for the summer.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I have, her mother has roots in Senegal.
Okay.
And so I'm very, very proud to say that my daughter is in Senegal for the summer with her family in the motherland.
Beautiful.
And I'm just delighted. For those who don't know, I have a young daughter. I became a father at the tender age of 51. My daughter is all of 13.
Beautiful.
And she's in Senegal right now. And I'm very, very happy to see my daughter grow up and be comfortable with Africa and her African roots. That means a lot to me.
It does. I would agree. I would agree. Here's another quote. This is a Dr. Clark quote from 1948 that reminded me of you when I first heard it. My feet have felt the sands of many nations. I have drunk the water of many springs. I am old, older than the pyramids. I am older than race that oppresses me. I will live on. I will outlive oppression. I will outlive oppressors. Dr. John Henry Clark, 1948.
Wow, I didn't know that was Dr. Clark.
Yeah, that's Dr. Clark.
You know, at first I thought that that was Langston Hughes.
Yeah, Many Rivers. Yeah.
And then there's the brother. Did you ever meet or hear about Listervelt Middleton?
Oh, of course. Of course. I've seen, in fact, on YouTube, Brother Listervelt Middleton, he introduced many of these scholars to me, you know, back at that time, watching his program.
How did you hear about Listervelt?
Shucks. I think when, about maybe 20-something years ago, because he's been dead for quite
you
a while.
You were in Milwaukee at the time?
Yes, definitely. I was in Milwaukee at the time. Hey, I had the honor and the privilege at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. I didn't introduce Dr. Clark. Dr. Rogers did that, but I introduced Dr. Finch, and I introduced Dr. Von Sertima. Another brother introduced Dr. Ben. But those four men were at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, and I want to thank Brother Claiborne Benson and the work that he has done to maintain the Wisconsin Black Historical Society for all these many, many years, and asked me an honor to introduce the two people that I introduced, Dr.
And now you have the great Renoko Rashid on your radio program.
That's right. That's right. I am blessed. I am blessed.
What is the point that I'm trying to make? Is that those brothers, those elders, those ancestors are not dead.
That's right.
They live in us and through us. We are their incarnation. Now, whether we're doing the best possible job, I don't know. But we should be trying to reinforce that again and again and again, that this didn't start with them.
That's right.
That they were great representatives of this concept of race men and race women, people who kept the noble tradition of Africa alive. And we're going to pass it along to, you know, I think about that a lot. I just told you I'm about to be 65.
Yeah.
And so I think about running out of time and what else I'm going to do. You think about those things.
Sure you do.
I do.
Sure you do.
And I want to make sure that we are able to pass the baton to another generation.
Oh,
I guess
definitely.
I'm tripping now, but
no,
those are just some thoughts, man.
No,
I think it's very, very important that we, what does ASCAC talk about, this intergenerational transmission of wisdom?
Sure. They should. It should be key. You know, I think one of the problems that we have is that we don't develop succession planning. That we don't take a group of young folks and mold them and inspire them and give them the information and knowledge to take our movement forward. To me, our movement should be about the four things I mentioned earlier. It should be about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as African people. We should be able to determine what our lives are going to be and how we're going to live it. And nobody outside of us should be able to do anything about that. That's what it should be. I know that we have had a struggle here to try to appease the Caucasians, to let us be a part of this, let us share in the theft that you made for yourself, share in the greediness and the selfishness that you have. I know that. And unfortunately, we can continue to bang our heads without the results that we want, because it's not going to happen. It is never going
to
happen.
Check this out, man. Check this out. We should call, you know, when I'm on your show, I don't know what you call them or how you promote them, but what they essentially are conversations.
Yes.
You know, and that's I'm very comfortable with that.
Good.
Somebody has suggested in terms of social media. So we've said, at least it's been said on the program, that we can be our own worst enemy, worse to that effect. And that's true. But, you know, sister pointed out to me, a great educator, that there are agents among us that, just like you had COINTELPRO, I guess in the 1970s, the same type of agents exist in social media. And so a lot of people who take on black personas and black or African identities may not be who we think they are. I think that some of these people are right-wing, you know, Trump supporters or bots or agents who are put there to do their job, and that is to create dissension and division in our people. So we can say on the one hand, we're our own worst enemy and we shoot ourselves in the foot. But I think a lot of the people, a lot of the problems that we have are the result of agent provocateurs.
That's right.
And you can almost see them when they're coming. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't spend a lot of time arguing with people who make absurd points. For example, if I say something about Pan-Africanism and the importance of Pan-Africanism, you know, Dr. John Henry Clark said Pan-Africanism will perish. One of these people will say something like, well, Pan-Africanism has only been practiced from the United States. Or somebody will inject, those Africans don't like us.
Right.
And they sold us. These are right-wing white supremacist talking points that are injected into our discussions, and it allows us a lot of times to be sidetracked arguing with what we think are ignorant, coonish black people, when these are actually agents who are put there to do just that, to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
That's another point I wanted to interject. I believe that.
Oh, no, I agree. It has been stated that a lot of the things that we have seen on social media, particularly Facebook and so forth, those memes, those words and so forth are coming from possibly even the Russians, you know, that they have individuals who are astute in the terminology and so forth, and they put that information out there. That was just like...
I think that I had been saying that for a long time. But now I begin to wonder if it's beyond that.
Okay.
If these are right wing agents, Trump supporters, or even, you know, the government itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, we've always stated that what the government of the United States has done, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world is the United States. And that's the United States government and the people of the United States. Not all of the people, but the people in the United States, when they say you're American, then you represent that. That's why I don't
think. Now, this takes different forms. I'll give you another example. If I post, in terms of history, if I post, let's say, a picture of an Olmec head, for those who don't know, the Olmec civilization represents the parent civilization of the Americas and is characterized by a series of massive stone heads that have unmistakable African features. So the heads are obvious. If I post one, somebody on one of my sites is bound to say, well, the DNA, anyway, I'm getting off the subject. I guess I'm just trying to allude to the fact that while we do things in our community that sometimes are not to our best interest, I think that there are outside forces that assume African identities that stir up a lot of that confusion and nonsense too.
Oh, no doubt.
That's all.
Yeah, no, I believe that because in today's world, the dichotomy is we have the opportunity because of the technology to hopefully become closer and share more knowledge and information very quickly. But we also, because of it, have, just as you say, the agent provocateurs of those who were undermined and those who put information out there that is derogatory and to cause dissension and so forth among our people. So we have all of those conflicting things together, and it's up to brothers and sisters of good conscience and goodwill, good heart, and good mind to decipher that and continue to move it in the right direction. And to me, the right direction is towards liberation and sovereignty, independence, self-determination. That's the direction, you know. And it is difficult. It is extremely difficult, especially here in America, because America espouses individualism. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America espouses, you know. And that's why when I read the Inye Sesim for today, it dealt with that idea of individualism and how it hurts us as a collective from dealing with the issues we have to deal with. Because your mindset is, oh, I got mine. Get yours. And if you don't get yours, it's your fault. It ain't the system's fault, because the system is there for everybody. You know, personal responsibility. You know, I'm handling mine. You know, in fact, some people have the mindset, I don't give a damn. All I want is a comfortable corner, a niche in this system, in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, or better known as white supremacy. You just want a comfortable corner in a niche, and you want to maintain that. And a brother texted me and said, do you feel that the Democrats are our way out?
No, I don't. But my disgust for Trump is such that I would rather see a caterpillar in there than him. Anybody.
Anybody.
Is better than him. That son of a.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree too. That to, no, the Democrats, no. We got a caller, 646. 646, Jay. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hold up. I was just getting ready to ask that question because, you know, in all honesty, I don't see no difference between Trump and Biden. They're both the same type devil. You know what I mean? I mean, the sad thing is that our people don't realize or don't want to accept the type of devil Biden is. And he's already
shown us. Nobody's been talking about Biden today. We haven't been focusing on that.
No. What I'm saying is you had mentioned Trump, and I'm saying,
but nobody mentioned anybody else.
Yeah, but
we're not comparing Trump with somebody else. I'm saying I consider Donald Trump the devil, and I didn't endorse anyone else, so I don't want to spend time with a debate about one versus the other.
Yeah, but you're talking about.
Oh, see, I'm done.
Okay, Jay. Okay.
Let me just ask him this question. In his trips to Africa and him showing the native areas and things of that nature, what is the response of most of the people that go on the trip when they come back? Do they continue the research and expand upon it, or they just enjoy the point that they were on the trip?
They do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Oh, put me back on mute, please.
All right, dear brother. Thank you. No, they do both. You know, I know that going on some of these trips, particularly somebody for the first time, you know, is spiritual. It's even more spiritual, you know, than educational, but it is both. And that makes them have a transformation. You know, when you get a chance to go to Senegal and you go to Gori Island, or you go to Ghana and you go to Cape Coast or Elmina Dungeons, those things, you know, they're spiritual, you know. But
you hope that that is a result. Now, the trip that Mickey and I were on, the last trip, because he went with me, he and his beautiful wife, to Cuba a couple years ago, but we did West Africa this year. And one of the things that we would do a lot of times, we have these long, when I'm traveling, when I do my tours, I try to spend a lot of time on the ground. That is to say, I'd rather be in a comfortable bus driving than in being in airports all the time. I don't think you really get the feel of a country when you're just flying above it. Mm-hmm. So what we would do, and what happens on all of my tours, is that we have very serious discussions on the bus, sometimes heated discussions. Mm. Well, we don't agree with everything, but we're talking as African people. So I think that that's something that is extremely important. And we want to take that good feeling and the sense that we are ambassadors of Africa, that we are dedicated Pan-Africanists, back. But that doesn't happen all the time. And I don't get angry about it anymore. Let's say, for example, if you go to Africa and you don't come back as an ambassador to Africa, a lot of people go over there and they just do a lot of shopping. So if nothing else, they're stimulating the economy. They're building up black businesses. And so for me, I think that we have to be a little bit more nuanced in terms of everybody is not going to, and I'm learning this, everybody is not going to see the world like we do.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that they're wrong or that they deserve condemnation. But
that's the patience, Bob.
There's another way to.
Yeah, but that's the patience we must have.
Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something.
Do something. But that's the patience that we have to have. And you're right. Everybody can do something.
That's not easy.
No, it's not. You know, that's like this to me, what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know, this ain't a show. I'm not here to crack jokes. You know, I'm not here to be, although I may say something funny or do something stupid, you know, true enough. But the whole idea of the program is just like what Stephen Biko said. We, you know, the most potent weapon in the hands of the European is the minds of the oppressed. And so this program is dedicated and committed to helping free the African mind.
Point too.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bob.
And this is, I think, the last caller began to annoy me, because I think that there's a tendency that I'm troubled by this faction that says I'm too woke to vote. You know, because a lot of those people, they ain't doing nothing anyway. It seems to me that it's very hard, and this is just me now, I mean, almost every day, certainly every week, there's a black person in this country shot in the by a cop, something like that. We'll just keep it simple. And very, very few of them are indicted. Well, maybe, and I could be wrong, that if we sat on jury duties more, then we would have a bigger influence. I mean, what we ultimately must do is police our own communities. And what we ultimately must do is respect ourselves a bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, here's something else that troubles me, and I rarely hear it talked about. If a white cop, any cop, shoots a black person, we're mad, and rightfully so. But we shoot each other every day, it would appear. And that doesn't make the news. To me, a black life is a black life. And it doesn't matter if one of them takes it or one of us takes it. So a lot of times, I don't think that we hold ourselves as accountable as we should be, because ultimately it's up to us to do this, man.
No, I agree.
Otherwise, we will be talking about this 50 years from now, what white people do to us and how we're screwed.
Well,
and all of that's true. But what are we going to do?
Right. And I for one, am always making it aware that although I don't believe in we're our own worst enemy, I understand why we hate ourselves to the point of wanting to extinguish ourselves, eliminate us, you know, the selfishness and the greediness that we have. I understand all of that. But ultimately, the responsibility to getting ourselves up out of this is ours. It is not Caucasians. It is ours. They're going to continue to do what they have done. Yeah, Jay, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I would like to reply to that comment that he just made in regards to, you know, people not saying anything when black people shoot one another. The reality is the people in the community that's really on the ground floor and doing the work, we talk about it all the time. But because
I wasn't,
we don't
specific, I wasn't
anything,
specifying them.
I'm not talking
I'm
about
speaking
I'm
in,
talking
general.
In general. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying in general.
Go ahead.
The people who are on the ground are out there talking about this all the time. Because we don't control media, and because we don't have certain institutions that could get the message out, a lot of people don't know about the work that's being done. You got groups
you do make
like Life
you make
Camp.
A good point, bro. You make
you
a very good point.
That are out there like Life Camp that have a van that goes into different communities to try and do conflict resolution. Now, I will agree with your point in regards to being on grand juries and those things. Yes, you have to vote. But let me say this to you as someone who has sat on the grand jury. The racism, the trickery, the deceiving nature of the way that they go about grand juries and the way that they present cases and things of that nature. You know that old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich? You can indict a ham sandwich. I've been in three grand juries, and let me tell you something. It's despicable. It's despicable what goes on in the way that they do our people. Now, I got a solution for it, but a lot of people don't want to deal with it or address it. I'm in the jury nullification. We haven't educated our people in regards to certain tactics that will allow us to make certain differences because we too divided. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you say something about conscious members, non-conscious, and things of that nature. I always say this. I think the worst Negroes in the world to me are the fraternities and the sororities. Them Negroes need to be just put and casted aside. You know why? Because they don't rep being African. They rep being the Greek. And if you know your history like I know you do in regard to that Greek, ain't no sane African should ever support that type of nonsense. So, you know, I just want to say, there's a lot of people out here who are just misinformed, who are not exposed to people who are doing the type of work that you and others are doing.
No, brother, I appreciate that. Thank you for pointing that out. Mm-hmm. I apologize, but you're absolutely correct, and I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much.
And see,
keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you.
And I think that the reality, unfortunately, is that because we don't have those kinds of controls, and we have all of these different things coming at us, we don't have the direct connect to our people that is unfiltered, that is uninterpolated, that doesn't have all these sidebars and all this other stuff. We don't have that, unfortunately. And so our people get...
Let me say something about the brother who just called. I really appreciate that. And I think that brother was a very, very, very good example. Now, I said some things that I thought were pretty harsh. But instead of him getting angry and hanging up the phone and calling me all kinds of names, he patiently waited and responded to that. And the response that he made was an excellent response. And that to me is an example of how we can operate. I'm okay with admitting that I am wrong a lot of times. You know, so it's not a matter about trying to be right or wrong. I think it's a matter of, I don't know if I put it correctly, but just trying to do what is best for the community and being willing to listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have a discussion rather than an argument. I appreciate that, brother.
Right on. I do too. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Jay's one of my constant callers, and we always have some good dialogue, you know. Always ask, believe me, we do. Yeah, we always have some very good dialogue. But, you know, I use this forum, and I have another good brother. Well, you know the brother, too, Brother Paul in the U.K. who calls. I got a sister in Botswana who periodically calls, brother in the Caribbean. You know, so I'm fortunate in that respect, being on the internet here, that people call from all over, you know. And so as a consequence, you know, we can get a lot of good perspectives. Because to me, it should be a worldwide African movement for self-determination and sovereignty. Yeah. A worldwide African movement. It ain't about Ghana. It ain't about Brazil or Jamaica or the U.S. No, it's about African people in its totality. I got another call. Let me take this call. 414. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Osh.
Hey, Brother Muhammad. How you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam. Not as good as you, Oshie, but I'm going to hang in there because it'll hurt twice if I let go.
Okay.
But I just want to compliment the compliment that the brother gave the brother and himself, because I think that is probably the most evident thing about our community or our people, however you want to frame it. We real good at getting mad at each other and not saying anything. I ain't talking to him. We're experts at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to laud that particular positivity with respect to, you know, the brother complimenting the brother, you know, the brother and what he said and how he stayed in there and didn't drop and take his ball and go somewhere else, because we very good at doing that.
Sure, sure.
The other thing as well is that I've only been in the criminal justice system in a jury trial, accused of a crime in a jury trial once. Oshi, you probably know this history. This was around 1995. My daughter was being very disrespectful. She cussed me, and I got 3 belts and went blind on her.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
When the public defender, who was a workman's comp lawyer, offered me a plea deal. He said, the district attorney said, if you plead guilty, you're going to do some field. I said, no, you better get ready to do your job. And just to put, because there were 2 African Americans on that jury, I was found not guilty. Now, there was some other evidence, her truancy, and, you know, people came and testified on my behalf. But I don't want to, I will never diminish the importance that it meant for me when I walked out of their courtroom a free man, that it was those, that brother and that sister on that jury that got that over the 10 Caucasians. And I don't even remember what their agenda was.
Right.
I wanted to run up and kiss those 2 people, because they, what they allowed to happen, as it was explained to me, is, and my attorney contributed to this as well, they said, this is something that is part of these people's culture. The only thing he told me, he said, when you say what you did with your daughter, don't say I whipped my daughter. He said, because white people don't imagine Lash LaRue. I don't know if I'm dating
You dating yourself.
You know, a full whip.
Yeah.
So I paddled my daughter because she disrespected me. And my daughter, in a future situation, had an opportunity to come into court on my behalf in family court and say, yeah, that happened between me and my father, but my father had never disciplined me before, and I disrespected him, and I apologize to my father for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to add that, and hopefully that, you know, vote, and if you get picked to go on the jury, get on it, because all of them aren't the same. Every case is different.
Right. Well, you know, when Brother Jay mentioned jury nullification, I remember seeing a piece on jury nullification, and considering what has happened with us in the criminal injustice system, there are times I think jury nullification is necessary. And so if there are brothers and sisters on a jury, they can make that move to have that particular case nullified, you know. So I got another caller. Let me just hold on with Brother Muhammad. Brother Renoco, you got anything?
No, I appreciate what the brother said. Mm-hmm. And, thank you for the contribution, my brother.
All right. All right. 404. Good afternoon. Sister Akina, good afternoon. Okay. She just wants to hang on. Okay. So, we only got about 10 minutes left, Brother Renoco. I appreciate you, you know, as always, you know, in our conversations that we have and when we see each other. It's always been that way since about 20-something years that we've known each other, and always enlightening and supportive of one another, and I will hope to maintain that. I know I will, and I hope that you will too, because, in fact, just looking at your lineup in terms of your tours, you're going to go to Tanzania and Zanzibar next month. Is that still?
No, I didn't get enough people for that tour.
Okay, you didn't.
That was an expensive trip.
Mm-hmm.
This year, a lot of people seem to be going to Ghana and always Egypt.
Right.
So yeah, we weren't able to do it perhaps next year.
Yeah, because Ghana.
But definitely, Egypt is on. Let's hope it remains stable.
Okay.
Sudan is not a country that a lot of us get to go to. It'll be my second trip. I'm excited about that. And then in January, Senegal and the Gambia. My South American tour next year, Central and South American tour, will be Panama and Cartagena.
Okay.
Cartagena, Colombia.
In Colombia,
so
right.
So again, if people want to, there's space available on all of those tours. You can call me after the show at area code 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Or you can email me. I love my email, renoco@hotmail.com. Or you can go to the website, or all three. The website is drrenoco.com, drrunoko.com. In fact, I think if you just Google the name Renoco, not many people have that name. A lot of information will come up.
Exactly.
But I do appreciate you, brother. You've shown your support in words and deeds. It's always good to talk about African people and the history of African people.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a wonderful job with that. One of the great qualities that I think that I've come to admire in the struggle, and I've been doing this for a long time, is consistency.
Right.
We meet some people who are brilliant and we love them and they fade away. And they go in a different direction.
Right.
You've been consistent for a long time, and I respect that.
I appreciate that. I really do. I think that for me, it is my contribution. I'm trying my best to awaken the minds of our people and to put us in a direction where we'll love ourselves regardless of whatever religion we may espouse, whatever political philosophy or one of those organizations of AKA or Mega Sci-Fi, whatever the hell those things are, but we're African people and we're coming together on that for our very survival, but not just our survival, but be able to thrive, to be able to realize an existence that we once had.
That we must love our people more than they hate themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge.
It is.
That's a challenge.
Because, man, we've been trained to be a self-hating people. You know, when we look at the amount of bleaching cream that is still being used around the globe, you know, when we look at how you can look at some brothers and sisters, particularly some sisters, and not one sister, I watched the program, not one sister had her own hair. Not one. Not one sister had their hair natural or even pressed. Everyone had weave. Everyone had extensions. Everyone, you know. So it has been something that I'm trying my best to do, you know.
Oshi.
Yes.
I have 9 children. I'm presently raising a 16-year-old daughter. And I will tell you the amount of time that I have to spend on trying to, you know, and I know the teenage brain is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like fake nails, fake hair, fake this, fake that.
Yeah.
I mean, it does overwhelming, you know, and I guess you could look at the success of the crazy Kardashians as contributors to this. But the fact that our people feel so comfortable having, you know, you've seen my daughter's hair. She got a Caucasian grandmother,
mm-hmm,
and other side, and a Caucasian great-grandfather on my mother's side.
Right.
My mother's father. But she still will put some extensions in her hair, and she'll pat it down with gel, and I'm like, baby girl, those mineral oil, petroleum, these don't penetrate. It's not going to make your hair moist, which is what you need. But the fake is just so strong. It's like, man, I'm punching against a hurricane.
Yeah.
Again, I use the same expression, Brother Rodolfo. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah.
Brother Rodolfo.
Yes.
When you talked about Minister Farrakhan's statement, I tell that to parents sometimes, African-American parents, my daughter being one of my daughters, being one of them, you have to love your children more than you hate the other parents. Parenting is a two-person job. And if you all spend all your time fighting, just destroying this, this little boy. But whoa, the fake is so overwhelming in this society, and everywhere you turn, it's just amazing. Like you said, people want to be other than who they are in every respect.
Yeah. But, you know, but to me, we got to be, just as Renoco mentioned, my consistency, but it's not about me. It's about us being consistent with who we are as a people and espousing that and making sure that whoever we touch, you know, because you never know. You know, I've been here in Atlanta, and I was at the Juneteenth Day. No, Marcus Garvey Day a couple of years ago. And a brother came up to me and said, hey, you Brother Oshie, aren't you? I was in your class back in Milwaukee, da da da. And this is what I'm doing now. So you never know. Like, I seen a sister in Milwaukee. I was in Milwaukee last year. She says, you Brother Oshie, I remember you because of you. I'm a teacher. You know, you never know the impact that you make. That's why, to me, I don't have no money. I sure in the hell don't have no money. But what I have is my name, you know, and I'm committed to try my best to be the best man as a model that I can be to all African people, all African children. That's what it's about.
Integrity.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Muhammad?
Integrity.
No, that in Kemet, they used to say, a good name is better than gold.
Yeah. And
so
believe me,
that's a part of the African tradition.
Yeah, we have some good names because of good people. Brothers, I appreciate it. Brother Muhammad, it's good to hear from you. Hope to see you again. I'll be back in Milwaukee in September for the firefighters' 40th anniversary. Brother Renoco, God bless you, and I'll always continue to support you. Hopefully, maybe after you come back from the trip in August, we can get on the horn and have another conversation.
I insist.
All right.
Have a good weekend, brother.
Okay,
appreciate
you too,
man. Hotel.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. That's a junk. Dr. John Henry Clark quote. You got that, Brother Renoco? Dr. John Henry Clark quote. But the reality is that it is ours. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, I'm saying is that we must come together to develop the program so we can be, once again, a self-defining, self-respecting people. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahorio means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahorio, our victorious destiny. You have a great and wonderful weekend. Peace, family.